We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
We're not going to play the song again? Okay, never mind. I don't want to. Go ahead and stand for a moment and take a moment and greet one another. And here's what I want you to do. Share with each other your favorite part of the story of the Grinch. Go ahead, do that. Go ahead, have a seat. Go ahead, have a seat. Everyone sit, be good, behave. So I was appointed to this church in Buller, Texas, which is a thriving metropolis outside of Tyler. Population, 890. I had 840 in my graduating senior class, just to give you an idea how freaked out I was. And I was appointed there as my first real appointment. I was a senior pastor. In reality, I was the only pastor. In fact, I was the only staff that got paid. And I go to Bullard, and I came from 2.5 years at College Station, A&M United Methodist Church. Yeah, where's my Aggie who did that? Yeah, you have to. I know. I'm sorry. We can fix that. So I spent and so you know about A&M Methodist. It was a very traditional church, obviously, and it was highly liturgical, right? So I kind of had this liturgy just in my brain because this is what we did every Sunday, being formal, being almost Episcopalian, you know, that sort of thing. And I had just taken one of my last classes in seminary was Word and Worship, which is a whole class on liturgy that I took from Dr. Marjorie Proctor Smith, and I actually made a very good A in that class. So I was at one time in my life, right, like Mr. Liturgy, right? And I became the keeper of the church year. So if we were to have green pyramids, we had green pyramids. We had red, we had red. I mean, I followed the church count. I was like Melissa on steroids with liturgy, right? I mean, it was just what I made Barbara look like she belonged to a non-denominational charismatic church, right? So it was my first Christmas. I moved there in January because I never move during appointment time for some reason. I always move mid-year. I don't know what that means. Anyhow, so like last week was 6 years that I'd been here, mid-year, not June. So it was Christmas, my first Christmas. I'd been there for about 11 months, 10 months. And, you know, we had a Hang of the Green service. Why? Because that's what we do. It's part of liturgy, right? And you put out all the Christmas stuff, you know, and you don't have the wise men there, you know, and you don't have the baby Jesus in the creche, but everything else is out. And it's Advent, and so you sing Advent hymns, right? And it was our second Sunday of Advent, and it was just a good service. You know, it was just a good service. I felt good. And Monday morning, I'm still kind of feeling good, and I walk over to the office because the parsonage was, well, they shared a driveway with the church. It was really exciting. And in my office comes a sweet lady who I love, named Thelma Cravey. Anybody know Thelma? Okay. Thelma was great. I just love Thelma Cravey. She's one of my favorite people in the world. And Thelma started off like church members like to do. They want to compliment you. So she starts talking about how great the church looked, you know, hanging of the green service, the sermon, Marty, we are so glad you're our pastor. You know, Anna, right? And then she does what every church member also does. They just can't leave it, right? I mean, right? She you ever notice when someone's complimenting you and then they use the word but? Nothing good happens after that. You ever notice that, right? Well, Thelma was no different. And so she let me have it. She was mad because we weren't singing Christmas carols on the second Sunday of Advent. She said, you know, Marty, it makes no sense. We want to sing Away in the Manger. We want to sing Joy to the World. We want to sing Silent Night. We want to sing those songs that show us Christmas. After all, you got the whole church decorated. There's Christmas tree, there's poinsettias, there's lights, there's all of that. Why can't we sing Christmas carols? Well, I, the guardian of all that is liturgy, the self-appointed one to make sure Advent stays Advent, came up with what I thought was a well-reasoned, theologically sound argument. Well, Thelma, we can't sing Joy to the World, the Lord has come, if the Lord has not yet come. And I thought, well, that's just going to end the argument. Well, Thelma, if you knew her, she wanted to always have the last. And what Thelma's well thought out answer, she said, well, you preacher, you're just nothing but the Grinch. And she turned around and walked out. Now, have you ever been called a Grinch? Right? Anyone? It is like the worst thing, right, Kelly? That is a horrible thing to be called. It just gets you but then if the green fur fits, maybe we should, right? Has anybody in here not seen The Grinch? Not read the book? Not seen? Not seen? Oh my gosh. Is it on Netflix? Do you want my Netflix account? Do they not show that at Alabama? Maybe Nick Saban should be watching that, and maybe they'd be playing the national championship game. Take that, Alabama people. Go LSU or something. So, if you don't know what the Grinch is, there's a song, right? And it goes something like, you're a mean one. Okay, I know I missed a few weeks, and Barbara probably didn't have interactive stuff, but I'm back. So you're supposed to sing that with me. You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. Yeah, and it's a great song, it's a great book, it's a great movie, it's a great cartoon. I love it. And for those of you who don't know, The Grinch was written by Theodore Geisel, a.k.a. Dr. Seuss, in 1957. And since 1957, the Grinch is the villain of Christmas, right? The Grinch represents all the Johnny Rainclouds and Debbie Downers who want to steal the joy of Christmas by not singing Christmas hymns on the second Sunday of Advent. But my burning question has always been, since the time I was a kid, is why is the Grinch the Grinch? I mean, right? I mean, I think that's a fair question to ask, except Dr. Seuss tells us not to even ask the question. This is what he says. The Grinch hated Christmas, the whole Christmas season. Now, please don't ask why. No one quite knows the reason. Now, however, I had two kids over there tell me the reason, because apparently there's a sequel to The Grinch on Netflix that we're going to have to watch tonight. So I started wondering, Why did the Grinch become the Grinch? I thought, well, maybe he went to a Black Friday sale, right? Maybe he wanted to buy the TV and someone else got it and they hit him over the head. I don't know, maybe that's it. Maybe he got tired of all the traffic around the mall and the stores that never happens except during Christmas. Maybe he was stuck as a child. Maybe he was the one, right, that had to undo the lights, right, and find the one bulb that was out. If you've done that. So I thought about it, and there's a guy named William Shakespeare. You've heard of him, right? He's almost as good a writer as Dr. Seuss. Not quite, but he's there. I think he made me really begin to understand. Because this is what Shakespeare said, sort of. He said, some are born grinchy. Some achieve grinchiness. And some have grinchiness thrust upon them. So I started looking at this. Surely the Grinch wasn't born the Grinch, right? And no one believes that. In fact, in my little brain, the Grinch actually at one time was a member of the Who Village. He was a Who, and he was happy. So then I looked at the second one. Oh, sorry. The second one. He didn't want to achieve grinchiness because who would work at that? I mean, that's not an honor. No one wants it. Kelly, you don't like being called the Grinch, even though you, according to Gary, the fur may. Right? So I figured he had to have it thrust upon him. He became the Grinch. Something happened that made his heart grow two sizes too small. And maybe it was Black Friday. Maybe it was the Christmas lights. Maybe it was something a little more. Maybe he lost a loved one. And Christmas just didn't feel like Christmas anymore. Or maybe he's just having a real difficult, bad day. And it just snowballed. But then I started thinking, like, in my own life, right? And I think I got what might have happened. I think he got one of these in the mail. The Sears Wish Book. Right? Those of you who are not old enough to know what the Sears Wish Book is, it's the Amazon.com of my childhood. There is anything you ever wanted you could get from Sears Wish Book. And you know, we didn't grow up with a lot, my brother and I, but when we got the Wish Book, we changed. Something came over us to where we had to have every single thing. So we would sneak off and we would go through the wish book and we would dog ear certain pages, circle, underline, this is what we want. Anybody else do that? And I think there's two theories on doing it. Somebody told me what they did is they would just circle one or two things because then they know they would get it. I wasn't taking the chance, right? 50, 60, 70 things, because somewhere, just the shotgun approach, maybe one of those would show up underneath the tree on Christmas morning. But what if the Grinch got caught up in that same thing that my brother and I did, and we changed, and maybe that's what changed him? It's something that I would call greed. Because let's just be real. I mean, we kind of lost Christmas in all of this stuff. I mean, you know, I saw something that this year, the average American adult is going to spend $992 on gifts. As a country, we're going to spend over $720 billion with a B dollars. I mean, right? And then I was reading about the Grinch and why Seuss wrote it in the first place. And even back in 1957, Dr. Seuss saw that as a problem, which is why he wrote the line that is probably the best known line in the whole Grinch story. Maybe Christmas doesn't come from the store. Maybe, perhaps, Christmas means a little bit more. maybe what happened to the Grinch could also happen to us if we don't, like Jill read when she read out Proverbs, if we don't guard our hearts against this thing called greed. Now, I didn't want to, in my first Sunday back, you know, be like Debbie Downer or Johnny Ray Cloud and ruin Christmas. However, where's Kay? Kay, I did apologize in my blog this week for ruining your Christmas by telling you that there really weren't three wise men and they didn't show up on Christmas Eve, and I apologize for that. Yeah, well, I would be right and you would be wrong because the Bible says that, but that's okay. So, but I thought, let's just be honest. All of us, we have this greedy part of our heart. I mean, we don't mean to be, but it just is. And so I started trying to figure out, how do I define greed so as not be Debbie Downer or Johnny Raincloud? I don't want to ruin Christmas. So I found this quote by one of my favorite preachers, Bishop Will Willimon, who's a United Methodist bishop, retired now. And this is what he says. He says, if I were making a list of deadly sins, greed would be at the top of my list. Maybe this is just personal, or maybe it's the result of living in this society. Greed has a way of turning everything that's gold into dross. Greed turns love into lust, leisure into sloth, hunger into gluttony, honor into pride, righteous indignation into anger, and admiration into envy. If it weren't for greed, we would suffer few of the other vices. I like to think of it this way. Greed takes what should be beautiful and turns it mostly in just to a price tag. And we start asking, what is it really worth? And I think if we're not careful, and it's not about the amount of gifts or the amount of money we spend or don't spend, if we're not careful, our hearts will shrink two sizes too small. So I thought, well, how do we guard against greed? So here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand for just a moment. You can do this again. And take a moment and share with each other what you think you have to do to guard against greed. Go ahead, take a moment and do that. Okay, do we have answers? Go ahead and sit down. Does anybody want to share their answer? What we have to do to guard against greed? Anybody? Hello? Yes, ma'am. Reach out to others. Good answer. Yes, ma'am. Huh? Help others. What else do we have to do? Michael? Give. Well,
here, why don't you just...
I hope someone wrote that down. Michael, would you do me a favor? Would you write that down and text it to me? Okay, thank you. I think those answers are great. I really do, and I think they're perfect, except I don't know if it truly catches it all. Because there was a time I would say, just give... Just be generous and you're not going to be greedy. But what I've discovered is you can actually give and still be greedy. Giving is only part of the solution. You ever hear that the opposite of love is not hate? The opposite of love is apathy? You ever hear that one? Well, the opposite of greed is not generosity. The opposite of greed is love. I mean, to guard our hearts against the Grinch of greed, I think we have to hear what Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. to think more highly of the other person than you do yourself. See, when your eyes are on you, no matter what you give, that still makes us a little greedy. See, I think in order to protect and guard our hearts so that nothing can steal Christmas away from us, is we have to love others more than we love ourselves. And that makes perfect sense, because isn't that the story of Christmas? I mean, right? Didn't God become one of us, dwell among us, so that because he loves us? If you read a letter that the Apostle John wrote, 1 John 3:16, this is what he says. We know love by this, that he, Jesus, laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. So the question I think we answer is, who in my little world do I need to show love to, and how can I show them? Or maybe we can phrase it this way. Maybe we can phrase it, what is something I can do for someone that they cannot do for themselves? Because I think that's love. I think that's how we guard our heart. So about 5 years ago, there was this news story. Kind of went viral. It takes place in Kansas City, and involves the Jackson County Sheriff. It's like 2 minutes and 50 seconds, so I know it's long, but it is worth every second of the 2 minute and 50 seconds. So go ahead and watch this.
We end tonight with another encounter between law enforcement officers and the public. Steve Hartman shows us how it all went down on the road.
Earlier this month, in Kansas City, Missouri, the Jackson County Sheriff's Department was out looking for people. And when they spotted a subject, they went after him in a sting operation, the likes of which this country has never seen.
Hello, ma'am. Your vehicle was targeted.
What do you mean? Oh, my gosh. Okay.
What made this operation especially unusual was the man behind it.
Good morning.
A fellow in a red hat, known to these men only as Secret Santa.
We got a mission today. To go out and do random acts of kindness.
Every year, this anonymous, wealthy businessman gives out about $100,000 worth of $100 bills to random strangers.
But
this year, instead of doing it all himself, he deputized these deputies to give away much of it.
Okay, let's start with 1,000.
And so, armed to the teeth with Benjamins, the officers went out to do Santa's bidding.
On a red and colored Chevy Cavalier.
They specifically went after people they thought would appreciate it most. Cars driving while dented or out on bondo were likely targets.
Merry Christmas.
You're kidding.
See that?
Yes. Oh, my God. No.
Most people weren't just blown away.
Thank you so much.
Most people were brought to tears.
Would that make your day better?
Their reactions, a combination of really needing the money.
Are you serious right now?
And being caught so off guard.
Hello. He just looked straight at me and turned around and pulled me over with no cause. Hold on.
How you doing, ma'am?
I'm good until you pulled me over.
Okay. Well, on behalf of Secret Santa, he wants you to have this. Okay?
Jessica Rodriguez, a mother of three, told the deputy he saved her Christmas.
I wasn't going to be able to get my kids anything.
Well, I hope you may be able to get your kids something with them.
As always, moments like that are the main mission here.
All right, you have a good holiday season.
But this year, Secret Santa also had a secret agenda.
What do you want the officers to get out of this?
Joy. You know, as tough as they are, they have hearts that are bigger than the world.
Let's face it, it hasn't been a good year for law enforcement.
Copy, thank you.
But for the vast majority of decent officers who will never make headlines, Secret Santa offered this gift.
Appreciate it, man.
That help out?
A chance to be the bearer of good news for a change.
Congratulations.
A chance to really help the homeless. To thank the law abiders. To see hands up in celebration. And then be assaulted in the best possible way. There were a lot of hugs. Our body cameras took a real beating. But it was worth it. just to see people trust again and to see cops
welcome.
Surrender.
You have a good holiday.
Steve Hartman, on the road in Kansas City, Missouri.
Thank you. Oh, wow. And that's the CBS Evening News for tonight. For all of us at CBS News all around the world, I'm Scott Pelley, and I'll see you Sunday on 60 Minutes.
So to guard against greed, maybe the question is, what would a generous and loving person do? And then when you figure that out, just go do it. Just do that. See, what the Grinch teaches is that greed is not a money issue. It's a heart issue. And if you read the end of the story, maybe that could be our story. And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day. And the minute his heart didn't feel quite so tight, he whizzed with his load through the bright morning light. And he brought back the toys and the food and the feast. And he himself, the Grinch, carved the roast beast. You want to make sure your Christmas doesn't get stolen? And then he begins with the question, what would a generous and loving person do? And just go do it. That's what I think. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, give you peace both now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit go from this place. And may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. And may you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do, nothing, that will ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you're nothing but the best of the best of the best. And can you imagine for just a moment what your day might be like if you lived it believing that? I think you'd have a good day.